All right, everybody, the Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. DJ, please call the roll.
Chair Schoaf?
Here.
Vice Chair Plasencia?
Here.
Ranking Member Benjamin? Representatives Anderson is excused. Baker?
Here.
Caruso?
Here.
Chambliss? Cross?
Here.
Daniels?
Here.
Franklin?
Present.
Garcia?
Present.
Griffiths?
Here.
Maggard?
Here.
Horace?
Here.
Redmond?
Here.
Chair, there is a quorum.
Thank you, sir. Quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone again. Please turn off anything that makes noises. Members, today we're going to hear three bills. First bill is going to be House Bill 7051 by Representative Mello. Do we have Representative Mello with us? No? All right, we will get right on that one. Let's see. Next, let's go to Representative Edmonds, House Bill 767. Rep. Edmonds, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Good evening, Chair Schoaf, Vice Chair Palencia, and the honorable members of the Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee. I stand before you today to advocate for the passage of CSHB 767, a bill that seeks to ensure individuals who have faced incarceration can maintain their resident status for specifically in-state tuition purposes upon seeking higher education. That is the bill.
All right. Thank you for that. Members, questions on the bill? Do we have any questions? All right. Seeing none, is there any public testimony on the bill? First, we have Carol Bowen. Carol is waving in support with ABC Builders. Correction. Second, we have Chantel Smith from Florida PTA, and she is waving in support. Then we have John Frank representing Pax Christi, Florida. And you are waving in support. Thank you, sir. Next, we have Pamela Birch Fort from the Florida State Conference of the NAACP. And she is waving in support. Then we have Augustine Corbella, Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. And he is waving in support. That wraps up. Let's see. Members, we are now in debate. Any members in debate? Rep. Daniels.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Representative Edmonds, thank you for this great bill. I'm honored to vote up on this bill, and I'm also going to request to be a co-sponsor, and I encourage my other colleagues on this committee to sponsor this awesome bill.
Thank you, Rep. Daniels.
All right. Rep. Caruso, in debate.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for bringing this bill forward, Rep. Edmonds. I think it'll allow a lot more individuals that are incarcerated to continue with their college or even to become, you know, enrolled in college, university levels, and you know, be better able to afford to do it. And I think anything that advances them in the right direction while they're incarcerated is a positive and will create less reentry once they do get out. So they'll have some skills and be able to go out and get a job and work their way back into society. So good job. Appreciate it. I'm up on it.
Thank you, Rep.
Members, anyone else in debate? All right, Rep. Edmonds, again, I want to thank you for your work on this bill. This is the second stop, and you've done a great job bringing this issue forward. I agree with Rep. Caruso's comments. I think that the only way out of poverty and prison and all of the negatives in life is education. And as a state, I believe firmly that we should be removing those barriers and helping them on that path. So I want to thank you for your good bill. Rep. Edmonds, you are recognized to close on your bill.
First, I just want to thank you, Chair Show, for entertaining this bill and believing in a second chance. And I also want to thank Ms. Smith for also your support in this bill. I would like to say data has found that inmates who participate in any educational program are 43% less likely to return to prison. And that is not just a win for the individual, but a victory for society, saving Florida taxpayers millions in incarceration costs annually. It is essential to note that this bill does not mandate automatic acceptance of returning citizens into educational institutions. Schools retain full discretion to evaluate applications on their own merits, ensuring that academic standards and community safeties are preserved. Let us remember the words of Nelson Mandela. Education is the most powerful weapon which we can use to change the world. And with that, members, I ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Having closed, DJ, please call the roll.
Chair Schoaf?
Yes.
Vice Chair Plasencia?
Yes.
Ranking Member Benjamin?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson, who's excused, Baker?
No.
Caruso?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Show 14 yeas, one nay.
Thank you, members, and congratulations. By your vote, show the bill passes. Next up, we have Representative Mello. Rep Mello, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Schoaf. Members, thank you for the opportunity to present HB 7051. Florida has been a leader in higher education for many years. However, why are students leaving high school without their diploma, GED, or essential skills? How does Florida re-engage and serve this population so that many may gain the education and training they need to support themselves and their families? The bill provides several opportunities to re-engage these students. First, when students choose to disenroll from school, the bill requires they be made aware of the GATE program and the opportunities it offers. The bill also requires GED candidates be made aware of the program and its eligibility requirements. For those who have been separated for longer periods of time and may engage with a one-stop center, the bill requires they be made aware of adult education generally and the GATE program specifically. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And there's a strike all amendment. Did you cover that in that, or would you like to start with the strike all?
I would like to explain the strike all, Chair.
All right. You are recognized.
Thank you. The strike all amendment specifies that the GATE participants must complete the GATE adult education and workforce programs within 2 years instead of three. Second, the bill reprioritizes the payment structure by requiring participating institutions to apply all sources of federal and state aid prior to waiving tuition and fees and seeking reimbursement through GATE. This would allow WIOA funds, if available, to be used in addition to Open Door. Third, the strike all creates a grant program to provide funds to start GATE programs in rural areas of the state that lack or have limited access to adult education and or CTE. This grant program is in lieu of the current incentive that provides funds for high school and workforce credential attainment. Only institutions, career centers, state colleges located in or serving rural areas of opportunity would be eligible for this grant program. Counties located in a rural area of opportunity include Collier, Dixie, Franklin, Gulf, Hamilton, Hendry, Jefferson, Lafayette, Liberty, Suwanee, Taylor, and Wakulla. That's the full list, and that is the strike all, Chair.
Thank you, Rep. Mello. And we do have an amendment to the amendment I'm going to present, so I'm going to pass the gavel over to my vice chair.
Members, you have a copy of the amendment before you. Representative Schoaf, you are recognized to explain your amendment to the amendment, barcode 634547.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment addresses the fiscal impact of the strike all by making the GATE waiver contingent on an appropriation provided for providing for the reimbursement program, and that is the amendment.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, public testimony on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate, Representative Schoaf, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave close.
All those in favor signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed, no. Show the amendment adopted.
Thank you, ma'am. Members, we are back on the strike all amendment as amended. Do we have any questions on the amendment? Public testimony on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. All right, Representative Mello, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
I wave close, Chair.
All those in favor signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed, no. Show the amendment is adopted. We are now back on the bill as amended, which is the strike all that we just adopted. Is there any further questions or public testimony on the bill? Any further debate? I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. Public testimony. All right. First, we have Chantel Smith with Florida PTA is waving in support. We have Nathan Hoffman with Foundation for Florida's Future waving in support. And we have Sabrina Sandifer White representing herself. And she is, we don't have anything marked here. Sabrina, would you like to speak? Come on down. You're recognized.
Program like this is actually really beneficial to a lot of urban areas and rural areas, and I don't think that list covers enough of the state of Florida, especially for people who are disenfranchised in the education system because of too many absences or they had a lot of family issues or things like that. So I would just like you guys to reconsider adding another amendment to this later on down the line, but I'm going to wave in support.
All right, thank you. Any further debate, members? All right, seeing none, Representative Mello, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to state that this expands the bill to create programs in rural areas of opportunity and also fiscally constrained counties. So that is over 30 additional counties that don't have access to this program in the current original form that was filed. So with that, I close, Chair.
Thank you. DJ, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Schoaf?
Yes.
Vice Chair Plasencia?
Yes.
Ranking Member Benjamin?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson? Baker?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
That is 14 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, members. By your vote, show House Bill 7051. Has passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Next up, and last but not least, Representative Snyder, you are recognized to present House Bill 917.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Thanks so much for hearing this bill. Vice Chair Plasencia, Ranking Member Benjamin, and all the members of the Higher Education Committee. I want to first start by saying, and now my fourth year in the legislature, this is my first time in this committee room, and so it is an honor to be here. Today, presenting before you House Bill 917, I'd be remiss if I didn't start by recognizing Chair Mello, who just presented this bill. I know in my time here, she's been a leader with career and technical workforce, and this year I've got the privilege to try and continue that good work by carrying our workforce development package in the House. And amongst others, what we're doing in this bill is we are authorizing 16 and 17-year-olds to gain valuable experience by working in residential construction sites under certain circumstances. We are bringing a more standardized approach to how our journeyman program works to ensure reciprocity from one county to the next. And the thing that I'm most excited about, as we have continued to move the needle in our workforce development, one of the things that we think is important to do is to really take stock in what we have done over the last few years and really examine what's working, what's not working, and where can we find room for more improvement. And to that end, we will be creating a task force with a variety of different stakeholders that will be charged with going through every single school district in the state to compile what workforce programs are being offered, look at the funding mechanisms that are supporting these programs, and really take that a comprehensive look into these programs, report those findings back to the legislature so we can continue to be a leader in this space as we work to create the talent pipeline of the future. I look forward to answering any questions. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. And speaking of helping the next generation have an opportunity, I'd like to recognize a very special guest you brought with you. Elizabeth, thank you for being here today to come see what your dad does. He does a great job here, and it's good to have you. All right, members, we are on questions. Questions on this bill. All right. Rep. Caruso, you're recognized. Very good. Very good. All right. Representative Benjamin. Okay. Representative Cross.
Thank you, Chair Schoaf. Representative Snyder, just wanted to understand a little more of the rationale for this. I know that one of the goals is to get more experience for students who may be taking a different path maybe than a four-year degree. Why do you think it's important that we allow 16 and 17-year-olds to do this? Why can't they wait until they turn 18?
Representative, you are recognized. And also, we'll let this one go, but guys, remember, on this committee, we are asking questions about the fiscal impacts. But that's a good question, so fire away.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question, Representative. So currently in the state, in order for a 16 or 17-year-old to work in residential construction, they have to be a part of an apprenticeship program through the school district, but not every school district has that program. And so what we're doing in lieu of that, making sure that these 16 and 17-year-olds who might want to pursue a career in either HVAC, masonry, painting, a general contractor, that they have that opportunity to gain those experience. And part of what we did in the last committee stop was adopt an amendment to clarify that under no circumstances are these individuals allowed on a roof. It has to be in a residential setting under direct supervision with some coursework laid out. And so that's why we're doing that in this bill today.
Thank you very much. Follow-up, Rep. Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to follow up, you said that some schools have apprenticeship programs. So is there a model already for children of this age to be on construction sites?
I'm going to stop there. We're going to keep our questions to fiscal impacts. If you have a question on the fiscal impact or how it's going to affect the budget, definitely would entertain that.
Okay. Do you think this will have a positive fiscal impact on our higher education system?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the fiscal impact, according to the staff analysis, it still is indeterminate. Where we think, if any, the impact will come, it will be from some of the staff support with this task force. But we do not anticipate there being any additional FTEs that need to be hired to conduct this. It'll just be absorbed within existing staff.
All right. Representative Chambliss, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, Representative Snyder. I saw this bill in the last committee, and so currently, if I could have about two or three questions.
Let's do one at a time.
One at a time. you mentioned some of the districts that have apprenticeship programs. My question is, are you familiar with how those programs are funded currently? And I'll start. I'll stop there.
All right. We'll sneak that one in as a little bit of a fiscal But go ahead. You're recognized to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question, Representative. That's one of the questions we don't know the answer to that, and that's part of what we want to uncover with the task force, because each district, what they offer can vary from district to district. How some of that funding flows can also vary, and so part of what the task force will bring back to the legislature is that district-by-district registry, so we can really dive into that further.
All right. Representative, you're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the task force, would this task force be a volunteer, meaning a non-paid member task force, or would the task force be provided a stipend? How would that work?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and a great question, Representative. Currently, as written, these would be unpaid positions. The President of the Senate would have some selections and appointments. The Speaker, the governor. We also open this up. We want Department of Corrections to have a seat at the table, as well as Department of Juvenile Justice and the DOE commissioner as well.
All right. A third one?
Yes.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And last question, Representative Snyder. Once we get the task force's findings on what currently exists as far as apprenticeships, with each school district, is there a way to financially streamline the two programs? 'Cause if we can find out what the financial source is of apprenticeships as it currently relates to the state of Florida, my thought process would be that we would just want to create more apprenticeships financially. And so again, I guess the question is, how are we going to use the findings of the task force to come back and to be able to create a more financially streamlined effort compared to separate efforts?
All right, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question. So part of what we'll be charging the task force to do is complete the report by September 1st of 2025, and then give them until January 1st, 2026, to then bring back recommendations to the legislature, and at that time we'll be able to decide whether to take action either through policy or appropriations, but that'll be really our time to take action on the report.
All right. Members, any other questions? Any other questions? All right. Let's see. Public testimony on the bill. We have quite a few. First, we're going to see Nancy Lothar, PhD with Florida PTA, and she is waving in support.
I don't believe so.
Sorry? Okay. All right, I got it. I'm sorry, you're an opponent, and these forms, I apologize.
No problem.
You were recognized, ma'am. Fire away.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to the committee. I would love to be waving in support of this because there are so many good sections of this particular bill. PTA does not concern itself with aspects like journeyman reciprocity, but the task force is something that I remember trying to argue for 8 years ago or so. And that is certainly to the credit of Florida that this task force would be finally implemented. I remember in those discussions from 8 years ago, the burgeoning problem of the aging of the construction workforce, how that they were anticipating a shortage, which would indeed affect the economy of Florida as people aged out. When you are engaged in strenuous physical work, your ability to continue beyond age 50, age 55 is diminished. So this particular impact to the economy of Florida and to the construction industry has been recognized. And in recent years, the last 2 to 3 years, we are very happy that this is being addressed. We cannot, unfortunately, support the bill with the section 2 of the bill that changes the age for working on scaffolding and roofing projects. We appreciate very much the amendment from the original version of the bill, which does limit it to 6 feet. But we would prefer that if Florida is going to be spending its money, that it try to expand the apprenticeships and pre-apprenticeships program to districts that do not currently have them, so that those who are 16 and 17 would be able to participate on projects under greater supervision. The supervision concerns us because we are concerned that Florida will not be able to spend the money to actually enforce the rules, the 6 feet rule, for example. And currently in statute, a violation of child labor laws is a second degree misdemeanor per incident, but the fine is only $2,500. And so we are concerned that the impact of violation, the violations would not necessarily be caught, and the penalty is relatively slight for a big construction project. So this chips away at protections for child laborers that we are concerned may be expanded in future years. And so for that reason, in the economic interests of those students who have opportunities such as the GATE program that we just discussed, we would prefer that this particular provision be eliminated from what is otherwise a very good bill. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next we have Jeff Sharkey, representing the National Electrical Contractors Association, is waving in support. We had Edward Briggs, the American Fire and Sprinkler Association, and the Florida Refrigerator and AC Contractors Association is waving in support. We have Kerry Hebron with Florida Home Builders waving in support. Nathan Hoffman, Foundation for Florida's Future, waving in support. Christopher Strandberg, Americans for Prosperity, waving in support. Edward Briggs, already done that one, waving in support. We've got another Edward Briggs. Yep, we did that one. Edward, you got a lot of forms in here. All right, let's see. Alexis, with the Florida Policy Institute, wishes to appear in person, and she is an opponent. Come on down, ma'am. Going once, going twice. All right. We've got Joseph Hutton representing himself as a reverend, and there's nothing checked. So, Joseph, would you like to come on down? And, Joseph, for the record, can you tell me, are you an opponent?
I am an opponent, but I want to be specific of why. I thank you, members, for giving me the time to speak. I can only speak to my personal experiences. I've been in Christian education for right at 25 years, educating young people. Worked in youth camps and been a volleyball coach, high school girls volleyball, been a boys baseball coach. And what I've seen over the years is right about 1999, we eliminated a very vital service. I'm from Duval, Jacksonville. We eliminated a vital service in there with the vocational education. And it seems that 15 years later, we find there's going to be a shortage in vocational technical abilities, just like we're talking about today, how they're lacking in those buildings and those people getting that education. Now we hear where we are today, we're taking that from being a vocational that we could have taught in a classroom setting. Now we're putting it onto builders to educate our children in that same type of vocation when it was in-house. So I see that the opportunities of our young men and women have lacked because we've gotten rid of those vocational educations 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And now we're seeing the pinch, the feel of that action that was taken 20 years ago. And I can say that by being an educator for the last 25 years to young people. And it feels like we have done them a disservice by taking a future from them by eliminating vocational education. And there's still not a vocational education in schools today. We're still kind of robbing them from that.
Sir, if you can wrap it up or get, I mean, we have a lot of vocational education in schools. So with this bill,
in Duval, it's been eliminated. That I can only speak to what's happening in Duval.
I understand. You're recognized to finish up your comments.
Okay. Just making sure that we are including some type of education for our kids in this bill, not just sending them off to a builder to educate them in the way they want them to do things in a production manner, not in the proper way they should be doing it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate you. All right. Next we have Joshua Andone representing himself. Again, nothing marked. Joshua, would you like to come down? Come on down. For the record, are you a proponent or an opponent? Or?
I want to waive the support, but I want to make an amendment.
Okay. Tonight. All right, come on down. You're good.
Hey, how you doing? I work at Jacksonville Transportation, and I just wanted to amend the fact that I went to school as a – I didn't do in high school, but I wish I did. I'm a diesel mechanic by trade. I've been there 10 years, and I just want to think that, you know, not just doing painting and carpentry work, but let's also do automotive and diesel work. I'm a JTA technician, 18 technicians short. If we can get to these younger kids, the sooner the better. And I trained the apprenticeship. I went through the apprenticeship. I went to school down at Florida Community College. I got my degree, a certificate. But I think that his cause is a great cause, and I just hope y'all support it. But just make an amendment to make it automotive and diesel also.
Joshua, thank you. I appreciate your comments. And you walked the path that we are trying to help encourage. So thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
It's a great industry.
Yes, sir.
Thank All right. Next up, we have Sabrina Sandifer White representing herself. Come on down. Opponent, proponent.
Information.
All right. Info only.
Thank you for recognizing me. I am an electronics technician. I work for the federal government, but I also have a child that's in an apprenticeship program. I'm also part of a union that has apprenticeship programs. We have the ability to save money for the state of Florida by harnessing, fostering a partnership with the unions that are already out there. You have the building and trades, you have the IBEW with this pipe fitting unions, and they can tell the task force a little bit more about how that would be easier to integrate into the school, or, you know, I'm not sure how he wants to go about doing that, but the amount of kids that are coming into the trades is not enough to keep us running. And the only other concern I would have is that this bill also has the Child Labor Protections Bill is on this docket as well. So I would just want to caution you that kids don't know what they don't know. And so if they go into a job, everybody who is young, they think they know better than, you know, the people who have been doing it. If you have any children, you know you can't tell them what to do. Somebody else might be able to. But at the same time, they are not going to tell you whether they're not going to be able to explain to you if they don't understand a situation. Whereas, and that'll cost Florida in the long run, because if you hurt a 16, 17, 18-year-old child and they are fall off scaffolding, break their back, they're not going to be any part of the rest of society for a good long time, if ever, and then they'd be a burden. So I just wanted to let you guys know that since this is the Appropriations Committee, we might want to take those considerations into effect. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, Teresa King, Florida State Building and Construction Trades. The President, come on down. And you are information only.
Thank you, Representative Shelf, Chair, committee members. My name is Teresa King. I am the president of the Building and Construction Trade Council. I see other general contractors sitting on the committees here as well. I am a graduate of a registered apprenticeship program in the electrical IBEW, but we are looking after all of our young workers. I was not able to be at Rep. Snyder's first committee, and I did speak with him outside of the hall. I know this is the appropriations part of this bill. One thing that we would like is for, you know, in 2018, Rep. Silvers tried to get to where apprenticeship or pre-apprenticeships would be added for graduating requirement credits. And we are really happy to see all of the work that has been done and to clarify what a journeyman is, but also to put these industries back into our school system. We have already, some of our first-year curriculum is in some of our high schools. And so we believe if we were able to be a part of the task force, we could help bring another side of the conversation to where, and when it does come back before this legislature, after the findings are held, that we would be able to help the state save money in what we believe is a necessary need of training our future construction trades in our state. So thank you for the opportunity just to be able to introduce myself. I think those that have spoken, some of them a lot more eloquently than I can, but there's a lot of work been done on this bill. We know there will be more. As far as saving the state revenue, our apprenticeship directors have done an amazing job. We have a four-year degree at no student debt upon completion. We would like to introduce those possibilities into our school system. So thank you for the opportunity to speak. And Rep. Snyder, thank you for letting me talk about your bill.
Thank you, Teresa. It's always a pleasure. Next up, we have Andrea Deckbar. And that is waiving in opposition. We have Brian Coltrane representing himself, that is an opponent. Brian, did you wish to speak? All right. Or is that, nope, all right. Oh, thank you. All right, waiving support. See, the public testimony works. Next we have Laura Munoz, and you wish to appear in person as an opponent. Laura? Yep, come on down. You're recognized.
Good afternoon, members, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I stand before you on representation of the Florida Student Power Coalition, and I am here on behalf of them to first really thank for the amendments and for the ways that this bill has been shifted. However, we do still stand in opposition to this bill. HB 917 would permit children age 17 and 16 to work on any scaffolding, roof, superstructure, residential building, construction, or ladder below the 6 feet if they complete the OSHA 10 course training for safety. However, we know that OSHA does not set the curriculum for this program, and it doesn't even meet the U.S. Department of Labor's strict training standards and intense supervision requirements. Additionally, the language of the bill as amended still doesn't explicitly prohibit 16 and 17-year-old children from working in any roofing-related jobs on the ground or near a roof, which is also against federal law, and it's particularly worrisome to our students, to our children, for them, particularly as it relates to items like hot tar that they might be still be asked to, as a part of their job, to work with. Hot tar being something that could really impact and hurt the future of our children. And It's crucial to note that under federal labor standards, while 16 and 17-year-old children can work on construction sites, federal law prohibits them from doing tasks deemed too hazardous, such as the aforementioned hot tar. I really want to emphasize how construction is inherently dangerous, and children have significantly higher injury rates than adults. I say this from personal experience. My father worked in construction for most of his life, not as an executive, but on the ground. He suffered many injuries over the years, had many sliced fingers, and on one unfortunate day, his life passed and was taken in a workplace accident. And I can tell you that until this day, I have not received justice, and my family has not received justice. My father did everything that he could to keep himself safe. He did everything. He tried to follow every law, and he was an adult. And yet, he is not with me. And I did not get to grow up with my father. And I am worried for the membership of our organization, for these students and their safety. And that's why, although I am really want to amend the ways that this committee and this legislature has moved to make those amendments, I still believe that we need to be doing better by our children. And we really need to think about their safety. We need to think about their lives and make sure that we prioritize that. So please, I ask you to think about the federal standards already established, and let's get ourselves aligned with those. Please, please, please think about the future of our children, and we ask you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have William Lawson. William is representing himself, and he is waiving in opposition. We have Amy with Engage Miami, and Amy is waiving in support. Okay, got it. Sorry, waiving in opposition. I thought it was scratched through. I'm sorry. And I have my glasses on, too. All right, and last we have... Amy, it says, I've got wave in opposition, I've got wave opponent checked. Which one would you like? Come on down. You're recognized.
Thank you for your time. Hi, my name is Amy, and I'm the policy manager at Engage Miami. And we are, we stand in opposition to this bill because we know that the solution to a labor shortage is not to force our children to fill in those gaps, but to raise the living wage in the state and to provide more benefits for working families. We know that all children deserve the freedom to a quality education and lifelong success. We should be supporting Floridians by making sure workers can get good paying jobs, not siding with corporations that keep our wages low. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And last but not least, we have Carol Bowen with Associated Builders and Contractors wishing to appear in person. Carol, come on down as a proponent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I want to thank Representative Snyder for working with us on this bill this session. A lot of different comments today, but kind of trying to keep with the economic impact. Florida has one of the largest skilled worker shortages in recent history. 50% of the construction industry is 50 years of age or older, through no fault other than we are an aging population. And we need to identify that next generation of parties who are interested in working in construction. But this bill touches more than that. The Career and Technical Education Task Force will be looking at any and all industries that impact Florida's economy. And I think the end result being anybody who wants to enter a workforce hopefully will have that opportunity through expanded CTE options. There was a comment about maybe where the construction industry may or may not be wage rate-wise. Right now, if you go on Indeed.com, if you want to be a laborer, which is somebody who doesn't have a skill set looking to enter construction, that's $25 an hour plus benefits starting. But that's not what this bill tackles. What this bill tackles is identifying ways where vocational education has left, where we can perhaps identify as a state, speaking with students in middle and high school and saying there may be a career path for you, whether or not you want to go to college. Some may want to table it for a few years, get that work experience, and then help pay for college that way. So we appreciate that. As it relates to the 16 and 17-year-olds, I just want to highlight a couple things because I know I did a drop sheet. It is very clearly stated in the legislation that at no point can there be a violation of existing federal standards. It spells out OSHA, but federal standards is also the Fair Labor Standards Act, which this bill would fall under. And so at no point can an employer, whether if this bill passes, put a 16 or 17-year-old under certain circumstances, and those are itemized out under the FLSA. Sorry about that. That's a tongue twister. The other thing I would say is this is not a mandate. It's an option. There are career academies in Florida that currently allow 16 and 17-year-olds on job sites for construction, but those are not in every jurisdiction in Florida. And so really we're trying to say if you want to maybe get some summer work in a specific area as safely as possibly can, we're going to follow OSHA, we're going to follow the FLSA, and we're going to make sure that Florida is compliant, and we're going to give you some work experience. All that being said, nothing in here changes wages or work hours or permissible anything. You have to comply with federal standards or you risk losing your license, both at the federal level and in Florida. With that, we'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman. All right, we're going to move into debate. Members, any debate? Rep. Chambliss, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you, Representative Snyder. I know that this has been a labor for love for you. This is bill in the last committee. And so I won't necessarily talk about the policy issues in my debate, but kind of, you know, explain where my head is. One, I definitely think that I would probably be more comfortable if we had the task force's report first, because I think that probably would have given us a better direction of how to spend our dollars. Particularly where it's needed, maybe where it's not needed. I do think that we need more apprenticeships. I think that's ultimately the goal that we want to get to. And I think that's definitely fiscally a more, you know, reasonable and efficient way to go about this. I also want to mention, I mentioned this last year, that I really think that we should be putting more money into the middle schools, because one of the reasons I think that a lot of young people you know, have potential accidents, you know, on job sites, that they're introduced to the vocation so late in life compared to what the gentleman was mentioning. You know, in middle school, when we took shop, we knew basic mechanical skills, but that was like in the sixth and seventh grade. And so therefore you knew how to be safe. You were introduced to it earlier. So I do think that that is a better option. Unfortunately, I can't support the bill, because I think that there needs to be a line where we are trying to ask for, you know, the safety considerations to continuously be there. And I also would just like to throw out one more idea that came up when we were talking about the enforceability mechanisms. I would ask that you consider a stronger enforceability mechanisms. I think that that might appease a lot of stakeholders as well. I do think that $2,500 is what a general contractor throws away for pizza on Fridays. But if, you know, there was a stronger enforcement mechanism, I think that many of them would take notice and make sure that the supervision that we're asking for would actually be there. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Chambliss. Vice Chair Placencia, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Snyder, for this great bill. My son is a diesel mechanic. He became a diesel mechanic after he graduated from high school. And I knew he was going to be a mechanic from the time he was 6 months old, just kind of crawling with his little car. It was the cutest thing. But as he grew up, he had to volunteer his time, unpaid, in a mechanic shop, because that was his love. He just wanted to work on cars. And if this would have been available to him, I certainly would have taken advantage of it. So I thank you for this. I'm sure many Floridians will thank you for this.
Outstanding. Any other debate? Yes, Representative Cross.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Snyder, I share some of the comments that we heard from the speakers about the need for more apprenticeship programs in here. I understand the challenges with an aging workforce and the need to bring in and more people into the workforce and expose some of our youth to these opportunities. I would like to see a little bit more guardrails in here. I am sensitive to the fact that in some communities, these apprenticeship programs are not available. I'd like to see some better coordination, potentially with the school districts or at the county level, that there's a point person in each county that could help to oversee this program, so that if there are issues maybe that don't rise to the federal level, but that there is someone that is a point person for that. So if you're amenable, I'd like to work with you on some of those issues. With that being said, I'm not going to support it today, but I would like to get to the point where I can.
All right. Thank you. Members, I believe that wraps up debate. Representative Snyder, you are recognized to close on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just first wanted to say thank you to the members of the public, both in support and opposition. Our door is always open, and we look forward to working with the variety of stakeholders as we work to get this in the best posture. And same to the members of the committee. Please, we welcome that input. But I specifically want to say thank you, Vice Chair Plasencia, for sharing your story. You know, I think that's one of the beautiful things about this process is, you know, all of our different stories are just a small representation of a broader state and the 22.5 million that people that call this place home. And I do feel extra privileged to have my daughter here today. And I think as we all think about why we do what we do, making the sacrifices away from home, it is about that next generation. And so for those that know that, again, the traditional four-year college isn't the best pathway, how we continue to support that, bring honor and dignity to that, and work together as a legislature to make sure that Florida leads the way in career and technical resources, that's what it's all about. So, again, thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing this bill, and members for your time. Hope to have your favorable support today.
After that jam-up close, DJ, please call the roll.
Chair Schoaf?
Yes.
Vice Chair Plasencia?
Yes.
Ranking Member Benjamin?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson? Baker?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yeah. No.
Almost.
That's so funny.
Cross?
No.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Show 12 yeas, two nays.
DJ, can you double check that? I think I heard 13 yeas. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right. With your vote, members, show House Bill 917 by Representative Snyder passing. Thank you, sir. All right, everybody. That was the longest committee we've had all year. I want to thank you all for your patience. And with that, that concludes our committee agenda. With no other further business before this committee, Rep. Chambliss moves we rise. Meeting adjourned.